Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
One thing, it is the Balanced Gridiron right here on the Balanced Radio Network, coast to coast. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Happy Saturday to you. Happy Saturday morning. Get your coffee, get ready to go. We've got a loaded, packed up show for you today, the day after Veterans Day. And you know what? We totally salute the veterans. This show is dedicated to the veterans and what they have done for our country. The price they pay that allows us just to sit here and talk about sport is unbelievable. Got time this weekend. Take some time. Go up and thank a veteran. We've got a jam-packed show today. Joining me, intern co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts Fan. How we doing, Brian?
Good. How you doing?
Pumped up. Ready to go. It'll be a good weekend. Colts could get their first win of the season this weekend. What are your thoughts?
I hope. I really think that we can do it once again. But you know, who sees? It's not, you know, who, you know, we have to see. It's not Sunday yet.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one thing it is, it's Saturday, which means that it is the Balanced Gridiron right here on Balanced Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad you guys could join us. Man, it's good to come alive on Saturday after just the weekly grind of things. It's good to sit back and grab a hold of your sack and your man card and say, dude, it's great to be a man. Well, you know a girl, too. We know girls like sports, too. I don't know why we go under that presumption, Brian, that it's only dudes that like to sit around and talk about sports. So, hey, I know we have female listeners too. So, hey, you're just going to have to bear with our immature male chauvinist comments at times, right, Brian?
Yeah. They're used to it.
Absolutely. Get used to it. Or get sad sacked. We'll see who gets sad sacked today. Hey, guys, write down these digits, 917-889-8516. It's the number to get right in here to the Balanced Radio Network. Talk to myself, Brian Jensen. And coming up here at 9:15, we have Fantasy Football Huddle. Axel's going to be joining us, and myself and Brian Jensen's going to break down your fantasy football questions. And here at the bottom of the hour, we've got Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and other multiple newspapers, to include the PhillyBurbs.com. It's right there real close to the source there at State College, Pennsylvania. A lot going on there, Brian. A lot I wish we didn't have to talk about on College Football Saturday.
Yeah, you know, that whole thing is just ridiculous. And, you know, the more and more we see, it's a long ways away from being over, and the more and more we hear about it, you know, it's just disgusting.
Right, and you know what? Here's the sad thing about it. We'll certainly get into more of this as we move along in the show. This second mile was a foundation that was developed and designed to help young boys enjoy a nicer part of life, and for their innocence to be taken in such a manner, and for this organization to be used, let's face it, as a front to recruit child children for your own sick, demented, demonic, whatever you want to call it, twisted sickness. It repulses me that we even have to talk about that, especially with such a big game that Penn State has this week against Nebraska. A big game, they're 8-1. All of that is overshadowed by this whole scandal that's going on down there in Penn State, and we're going to get into that as the show progresses. Obviously, we're going to talk some college football. IU is on a bye this week, so we don't have to worry about them losing this week. They did win their basketball game last night, so we'll talk a little basketball. We're going to talk a little bit about the Carrier Classic. Evan Williams, Purdue University student and blogger, is going to join us at 10:15, talk to us a little bit about, hey, the Black and Gold. Who else? Obviously, Gary Snyder will jump in here at some point. He's got dad duties today. His son is playing hockey, so he's a hockey dad. So he had no pucking around there, that's for sure. But I tell you what, in all seriousness, guys, this show is dedicated to the veterans. And happy Veterans Day. And, you know, all weekend long, I know yesterday was the official Veterans Day, but all weekend long, take time to salute the veterans. My son is a Marine. He'll be joining us at 10:45 today, Eastern time, that is. And I know we're in different time zones, but basically when there's 15 minutes left in the show, my son's going to join us. He's in the U.S. Marine Station in North Carolina. I already did one term out in Afghanistan. Well, we're going to take this break, and I thought that this was a fitting song to play going into the break, so we're going to play a little bit of this song, go into the break and come back, jump into Fantasy Football Huddle here in just a few moments. On the Balance Gridiron, happy Saturday!
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at them bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, 'cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take the stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier. Yeah, an American soldier, an American, beside my brothers and sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here tonight. American soldier, I'm an American. An American. An American soldier.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Yo.
Hello, Shorty. What are you doing?
Nothing. Sitting here watching the game, smoking some butt.
Are you all alone?
What's up? What's up?
What's up? Who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone. What's up?
What's up?
Yo, Duke, pick up the phone.
Yo.
What's up?
What you doing, son?
Nothing. Just chilling. Killing.
True, true.
All right. Welcome back to the Balance Grid. I never get enough of that clip, Brian. I'll tell you what, it is a classic. Alright. I tell you what, we're waiting to hopefully Axel will join us any moment here. If not, we'll go ahead and jump into our own fantasy football huddle because we've got just a few minutes as you do this fantasy football huddle, guys. 917-889-8516 is the digit. Real quickly, Brian, while we're waiting on to connect with Axel, break down what are some of the key things for the Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow at Lucas Oil Stadium.
I've always said they need to finish. They just seem like they get started and then they just cannot finish, and you know they need to play the complete game. And I have not seen it this year, and you know that's what they need to do. I mean, you know, if they can, you know, instead of going three and out, keep you know the offense on the field, and you know we have a chance. But you know they just need to get started and finish the game. And the defense, I mean, our defensive backs are in trouble. You know, they're just getting blown away. But I don't think the Jaguars really have anybody, you know, big on there, you know, that can really impact our defense. So, I mean, I think we'll be all right on defense. But they just need to play the whole game and finish the whole game.
Well, you know, hopefully they can do that. Like I said earlier here at the very beginning of the show here, I think that going into Week 10, you've heard me say this before, but I think the Indianapolis Colts can get their first win of the season against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville has been struggling on their own. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the game plays out. While we're waiting to connect with Axel, hopefully he'll give us a call here any minute. What we're going to do is we're going to jump right into the fantasy football huddle. Write down these digits, 917-889-8516. Join the huddle.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
Weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday. It was chillier last Sunday. Absolutely. But it's been nice. There ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold. It's 22 degrees out. It's bleeding. So much for no rain, huh? Coming down now. Now stay warm over here. Hey, stay warm over here now. It's cold. It's raining.
Crap, this wind is stronger than we've ever had. I mean, it'll blow.
All right. You know, when you hear the Wired NFL, it is time to get wired here on the Huddle. My name is Sal Mark with El Presidente. We're ready to take your fantasy football questions. Give us a call. All right. Waiting on Mr. Axel still. Hopefully he's up out of bed yet. You know, I don't know about him sometimes, I'll tell you. But welcome. And I tell you what, there's a lot that's going on. So what we really kind of want to do, so I just want to kind of talk about the matchups real quickly here and some of the key matchups of what I think would be a tough pick if you've got these guys on your fantasy lineup. Ben Roethlisberger versus Tim Tebow. Brian, what are your thoughts?
Well, Tim Tebow still has a lot to prove, and I guess that Pittsburgh defense, I don't really think he's going to prove much. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is, you know, pretty solid, and Tim Tebow, you know, it seems like he can't figure it out. I believe eventually he will, but I don't think he's going to have a good time against that Pittsburgh defense, and I believe the Steelers are going to just blow him out in that game.
All right. Joining us now is Axel. Better late than never. We wake you up?
Yes, I did.
You know what? Here in Radio Land, we go by what's called a clock, and that clock moves with or without you. so glad that you could join us. In all seriousness, we're talking some fantasy football, and we got just a limited amount of time because at 9:30 we're going to jump right into our conversation about Penn State and talk to a little bit about the upcoming games. But we were just talking about some matchups between Ben Roethlisberger and Tim Tebow. So talking about matchups, what do you think about that matchup?
Well, Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, Pittsburgh has been a pass-happy offense the last few games, if you noticed, and it might actually work in their favor because one of the lowest yards per carry is what the Bengals are for running backs. So Rashad Mendenhall is going to have a real hard time because what they did is, I mean, they did allow some runs for Chris Johnson in the Titans game, the Bengals defense, and then they shut him down in the second half. The Bengals defense is really capable of cutting down running backs, but you still can pass on them if you have speed, which is what the Steelers have with Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders once he comes back from injury. But with Brown and Wallace, they can do some damage. So Pittsburgh actually being a pass-happy offense would actually work for them with their latest trend versus the Bengals. The question is, how well Dalton does versus the Pittsburgh defense and how much ball control he can play versus the Pittsburgh defense, which is what will actually decide how close the game is. If it's a close game at home, I prefer the Bengals to win.
Can I jump in there real quick?
Sure, go ahead. Absolutely, go ahead.
You're going to have to let me know who's playing each other because I don't have the schedule in front of me. And I thought Pittsburgh was playing Denver. You're making me look like a total joke here, Tom. So, yeah, I'm a sad sack of you.
I'm sorry.
I'm driving to Indianapolis. I'm not on a laptop right now. I'm looking at the road.
Well, all right, my bad. I just meant in quarterback matchups. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
So, yeah, quarterback matchup. Yeah. Tim Tebow, I still think, has a handcuff in Willis McGahee. I mean, they do have film on the read option for one game. So, but I'd have to, given how Kansas City is prone to being aggressive on defense, so what that means is it would be just like Dwight Freeney and Mathis coming up to rush the quarterback, and they will leave creases for draw plays. And in this case, the draw is a quarterback draw. So basically, I do like Tim Tebow basically because of the fact he's a running quarterback, and 10 yards is all it takes for a running quarterback to get a single point versus Ben Roethlisberger would have to pass for 25 yards. So against a quality defense, I mean, I'm still not sold on the Chiefs' defense, to be honest, compared to the Bengals' defense, which I am sold on. So I do think Tim Tebow, numbers-wise, would have a better game than Big Ben. Big Ben's better game would have to be because he scores passing touchdowns, and which he would still be limited in this game because of the Bengals' D.
You know, talking about quarterbacks, and, you know, you guys heard me right here on this show last week talk about Carson Palmer and why I thought that he would be a good matchup and why he would be a good person to play on your league. It turned out that my rent a quarterback option turned out to be a pretty good option. What did you think about that game with Oakland and Carson Palmer getting a win?
Carson Palmer fit that offense so well because when he was at his prime, he had one of the most beautiful deep balls. I mean, he's got a very good tight spiral and throws a very good deep ball. I mean, Drew Brees is the only other one at the prime who throws a better deep ball than Carson Palmer. I mean, with Brady and Aaron Rodgers, it's like chuck it and let's let the wide receiver go and get it, whether it's Randy Moss or Greg Jennings or whatever. So, but I do think Carson Palmer, along with Drew Brees, has one of the best deep balls. And with the speed of the Oakland wide receivers, all of which has been invested in their 40-yard dash times, they finally have a quarterback who can command the respect and teach them to run routes too. And they finally invested in a route runner named Denarius Moore instead of just a pure go-route runner like Darius Hayward Bay and things like that. So that's paying off good dividends for them. And since he doesn't have to throw 40 times a game, that is a big plus too. So he can be more efficient with his passing game. That's why I still don't think he'll be putting consistent 400-yard numbers, but he will hit a few deep balls because of their speedy wideouts. And that's why I think he'll be a very efficient play if he cuts down his turnovers. So,
well, and you know, we got so much content to cover and so little time to do it. So obviously, there's a lot of quarterbacks. Another quarterback situation is Joe Flacco versus Ryan Fitzpatrick. You gonna be okay there?
Yes,
I'm
bronchitis there.
I like Ryan Fitzpatrick on this, but because we are limited on time, I do want to kind of zip through these positions as quick as possible because I noticed through my tweet complaints, a bunch of girls on Twitter, sack up and call me on the air. Tweeter complaints, if that's even possible, say we don't ever talk about anything but quarterbacks in fantasy football huddles. So we're going to move right into the running backs. Ben Tate versus Chris Ochigamobajama. Let's go with Chris from Cleveland. And you know who I'm talking about. The guy with the big non-pronounceable last name. Has been a big disappointment as far as a starter for Cleveland goes. But with no competition, I think he'll get a good workload against the Rams defense. And Tate's touches are going to be limited. And again, Brian, we're talking about matchups. I'm not saying that Houston is playing Cleveland, okay?
Yeah, let me know.
I would go with that guy, Chris. We'll start with you, Axel, and then we'll move on up there to you, Brian.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. I would go with Chris or Banaya as well, because of the fact that he doesn't have a second running back to really handcuff him. Ontario Hardest, he's got a hamstring issue, and Peyton Hillis is out. So who else do they have to run the a ball. And with the other case, Ben Tate is in number two running back behind Arian Foster. And you also have to understand this game is at Tampa. And Tampa Bay plays very good defense at home versus on the road. So they have been like Tigers at home versus or Kittens on the road, I would say. So that's why I feel that they will be able to establish the run versus the Houston Texans with LeGarrette Blount and Arian Foster being the primary one. Ben Tate's touches will be limited, whereas the Rams will give Cleveland enough possessions in order for Cleveland to have some impact with Chris Ogbonnaya running.
All right, Brian, real quick with you, we need to move on down the list here.
Yeah, that the Oompa Loompa guy, however you pronounce his little name. If he's going to be, he's a primary back, there's no one behind him. I mean, how are you going to get many carries when you're behind Arian Foster? So, I mean, I think, you know, he'd pick him over Tate.
All right, one more running back situation. We'll move into the wide receivers here on Fantasy Football Huddle. Marshawn Lynch with Seattle versus Pierre Thomas, New Orleans. My question to you guys would be is which Lynch is going to show up this week, the one who torched the Cowboys for 135 yards and a touchdown last week, or the one who ran for 24 yards and 16 carries a week earlier against the Bengals, against the Ravens? We're thinking, I think, the latter, and so I would go with Thomas in this matchup. Axel?
Yes, I would go with Thomas as well, because he's for the first time in two consecutive games, this is the first time in two consecutive games he scored a touchdown, one versus the Rams, the game that they lost to the Rams, and the second was, who did they play last week? I think it was Tampa at home. So even though Chris Ivory has been brought into the lineup due to Mark Ingram's injury, Pierre Thomas still got enough touches and goal line touches, due to which I like his prospects playing in a good offense versus the Falcons. And they do have two Pro Bowl guards to run behind, Jari Evans and Carl Nix. And that's always going to be a plus versus it's absolutely a nightmare of a matchup going against Haloti Ngata and the Ravens for a running back. I mean, Rashad Mendenhall got his points last week running versus the Ravens because Big Ben couldn't punch in at the goal line, and his knee was down before the ball crossed the pylon, crossed the goal line. So from the one-yard line, they had to rush it in. His points were mainly because of that touchdown and not primarily because of the yards. So for a running back, I mean, you can't just rely on the touchdowns. So I'm thinking that since there is a running back by committee and the Saints' ball, offense will move the ball better than the Seattle Seahawks' offense versus the Ravens, I do expect Pierre Thomas to be the best safer bet.
And for essence of time and moving on down the list, Brian, just who's your pick?
Thomas
or Lynch? Okay.
Thomas.
All right, now we're going to go ahead. Okay, going to go ahead and move on into the, I think we're all in agreement on Thomas on this guy, so certainly look at starting Pierre Thomas. Here's another matchup that I find interesting, Anquan Boldin versus Brandon Marshall. This may be the toughest call of all week, in my opinion, with both receivers being, you know, on a hot streak. And, you know, I like Brandon Marshall, who has been targeted nearly 40 times in the last 4 weeks with just maybe a little more. I'm not sure the exact, but right around that. Even against a tough Washington pass rush, I still expect Matt Moore to get the ball to what I think is his favorite receiver hands very often. There you go. I can't speak today, but that's okay. So my pick would be Brandon Marshall. Axel?
I'd have to go with Anquan Boldin. I mean, because of the fact that Redskins are pretty stout versus the pass compared to the Seahawks. And the Seahawks are much more banged up on the secondary. So Boldin would have more shots. And plus, they will get enough positions to play with because of the fact that Well, I mean, both offenses are lousy, the Redskins offense and the Seahawks offense. That's a wash. But I do think that after seeing how zoomed in Matt Moore is on Brandon Marshall, the first one that the Redskins will take away would be Brandon Marshall and force Miami to run the ball versus their front seven to beat them. So I'm leaning towards Anquan Boldin because of that.
Brian, go ahead.
I would take Brandon Marshall over Boldin. I'm not sold on the Ravens offense, but, you know, when you're Brandon Marshall, you're pretty much the only, you know, only receiver on that team that, you know, I think can, you know, break out and do something. And, yeah, I would take Marshall in this.
Okay, I want to get in one more wide receiver because I think this is a good matchup. Antonio Brown against Mario Manningham with the Giants. And Brown has been much more consistent than Manningham, I think, and is locked in as the starters opposite Mike Wallace. I think Nick's expected return, and we'll cut into Manningham's looks. I mean, Akeem Nicks is what I mean with his return. I think that's going to hurt Manningham. And, of course, you know, as well the emergence of Cruz. I think you almost have to go with Antonio Brown on this. I know that's another tough call, Axel, but don't you agree that you almost have to go with Brown? Or maybe you have a different look.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, definitely, because the fact that Nicks returning, like you said, and I played Mario Manningham in the previous game versus the Patriots, and I was going to surprised, even without Hakeem Nicks, a fewer number of catches. I mean, his points were made with a late-game touchdown, so he saved his fantasy GMs. But Victor Cruz got more catches and more targets than Mario Manningham, even with Hakeem Nicks out. So with Hakeem Nicks being in the fold, even as a decoy, I don't see Mario Manningham getting that many targets, and it's always a crapshoot with relying on touchdowns to give you fantasy points. You need the yards and the targets. So definitely Antonio Brown on that front.
Brian?
Yeah, I would definitely say Antonio Brown. I mean, the Giants have a lot of, you know, emerging, you know, with Cruz coming in, I always knew that he was going to be a star after watching him in that preseason game a couple of years ago. And, you know, the Giants have a lot of weapons to choose from, so, you know, everyone, you know, it's going to be a disbursement over the whole wide receiver field, and so I would definitely take Brown over it.
All right, real quickly, kind of a hodgepodge. I want to combine defense and tight ends and some kickers. All three of those positions, when with the right combination of those three on the field for you, can make a lot of difference between a win and a loss, especially in a close game. So, any recommendations on the tight end defenses and kickers, Axel, Chad?
Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Colts. I mean, Painter hasn't thrown a passing touchdown in the last three games, and it is harder to run with Paul Posluszny and our former linebacker Clint Session versus the Jaguars, so we're going to have to air it out. And they held both the Saints and the Ravens, though it was at home, to 23 points or less. So they're ranked pretty much in the top 10 versus, at least the top half of the league in both the run and the pass versus the run, probably their top 10, if I'm right, the Jaguars defense. And we have been turning it over, and Painter has been inaccurate. And unless we resort to running the ball 40 times, which I don't think Clyde Christensen is smart enough to do so. And so I'm picking the Jaguars defense as a surprise defense this week.
Brian?
Well, like I said before, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but the Jaguars and the Colts, the Colts haven't proved much of anything on offense this year, and with the Jaguars, what I've seen them do to the Ravens on Monday Night Football that one time, I mean, that their defense was just unbelievable that game. If they come out and do it again, you know, which ain't going to take much. I mean, we don't have much for an offense right now, but, I mean, that defense, I think I would definitely take the Jaguars defense.
Are you sure about that? Is that your final answer?
Yeah. Hopefully, I'm still going to win, though.
Well, I tell you, you know what? This defense thing is hard to pick. But you know, I like Minnesota's defense. They're not doing well as far as wins and losses, but I like Minnesota's defense, and I also like Washington's defense. And believe it or not, San Francisco 49ers are keeping the points down as well. So any one of those defenses, I think you would certainly be okay with. And on the tight end situation, you know, obviously don't go with anybody from Indianapolis.
Hey, actually, Jacob Tammy might do better than you think, because Titans have performed 40% above their season average versus the Jaguars. Those linebackers don't like to cover. They flat out don't like to cover. Every tight end that has gone against them has produced. So Jacob Tammy is not going to see double teams like Dallas Clark. And he's going to see more one-on-ones. And don't be surprised if Jacob Tammy is one of the ones who catches a touchdown pass. But that still relies on Curtis Painter being accurate, so it's a wash.
That's a very, very good point. When you look at the double team, I mean, obviously Tammy's not going to get a lot of double team until now, because we know that everybody listens to this show when making their game plan. So thanks, Chad. Well, you know, another tight end I like, guys, Oakland. I mean, I like Kevin Boss. And I also like, over in Detroit, Brandon Pettigrew. And I know I let him go this week. Maybe I'll regret that, but I had to make some tough executive decisions with my team. But I like Brandon Pettigrew and Kevin Boss, both in the tight end situation.
I like Scott Chandler. I mean, Dallas is terrible covering tight ends, and Scott Chandler has been a red zone guy for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that's a guy you need to keep an eye on.
All right, guys, that's going to have to wrap it up here in the Fantasy Football Huddle. Axel, we'll give you the final word. Any final last-minute strategies, game-time decisions for fantasy football? We got to jump into the next segment here.
Hey, last-minute strategies, go with your gut.
What?
There's nothing more. Go with your gut when you have a difficult situation, even if it's a difficult matchup. Just go with your gut, because sometimes it works out.
Unless you eat that Indian food. I'm just kidding. I always got to make an Indian joke. I mean, I love you, brother, man. He's the only Indian out there that knows more about football than any American out there. They play soccer in India. Isn't that right?
Cricket, man. Cricket.
Cricket, man. So do you have fantasy cricket in India?
No, but we do have cheerleaders for cricket.
Cheerleaders. So you know what? I think we're just gonna let it go right there at that point there. Guys, this has been Fantasy Football Huddle. Axel, we'll catch up with you next week. We're coming back when we come back. We're gonna jump right into this whole Penn State disaster and debacle and just crimes of what I would say crimes of the century. Axel, you're more than welcome to stay around, guys, but we gotta get you a break. And when we get back, we're gonna jump right into this whole Penn State talk.
All right.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle?
then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is Saturday, the day after Veterans Day, so make sure you spend the weekend, all weekend long, thanking the veterans for everything that they've done. The ultimate price they have paid. We could sit here and talk about football, and so we could sit here and talk about sports. What a job to have. And I tell you what, we owe a lot to the veterans that are out there. My son, who's in the Marines, is going to be joining us at 10:45 Eastern today. Talk a little bit about the Marines anniversary and the things that are going on with the Marines as he prepares for his second deployment to Afghanistan. So joining us also right now is our intern co-host. As you know, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh became a daddy recently, and he's got all kinds of baby duties and changing diapers and burping and sniffing and all that stuff that I have outgrown. My son is 22. I have outgrown. You know, I do have a granddaughter, though, so I look forward to that. Unfortunately, with his military duties, they live in North Carolina. I don't get to see her as much as I'd like. But, you know, my job as a grandpa is to completely spoil them. But anyway, so Josh has got a lot of things going on, $2 Bill Josh. So we're joined by our interim co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts Fan. All of you Colts fans know who Brian is. Yes, him, Mike, and crew are all the guys down there dressed up from head to toe in some of the most outlandish outfits. And hopefully that'll be good. Mr. Jensen, how are you doing this week? You're on your way to Indy right now, aren't you?
I am on my way to Indy right now.
Brian, you and you know what? I got to brag on you. You are one loyal Colts fan. You're a season ticket holder. You drive how many hours every week to a home game? 4 hours?
It's about 4.5, 5 hours, depending on what side of town and the traffic. But about 4.5, usually.
And also joining us is our favorite guy. Call him Chad because he's got one of those last names nobody can pronounce. And we just call him Axel. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Are you still with?
Yeah, I'm here.
So I thought I'd start making fun of the Indians. He hung up on us. So I'm just kidding with you. And also, it is my privilege to have with us Mr. Ed Katz. Did I say that right today, Ed?
Kratz. Yeah, you forgot the R there, but that's okay.
I got the first name right. Ed joined us yesterday on the Balance of Gary Snyder show, and I wanted to have him back here on the gridiron today because I just felt that it was appropriate, obviously. And we got him for about a half hour here, guys. We want to dive into this Penn State thing, but we also want to talk a little bit about the Penn State-Nebraska game and those Philadelphia Eagles as well. And Ed is a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. He also writes for PhillyBurbs.com. And I hear that he can make the best Philly cheesesteak around. Is that true?
I don't know about making it, but I'll certainly eat the best one around. I was raised on those things pretty much.
Here's what we're seeing now. McQuarrie's been on administrative leave. Obviously, we talked about this in great depth, and then I know I'm asking you to repeat yourself a little bit, but you're of the local media there. And you know, basically, our show has always been about getting us close to the source from the fans' point of view. And even though I'm a media guy, that's what I do for a living, but our show is based on looking at things from the perspective of the fan. Your local media there, tell us, just basically summarize on Saturday morning cartoon friendly that you can of what's going on over there in Penn State, and then we'll just jump into the discussion panel about it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on, actually, at Penn State. I'm not there. I'm getting ready for the Eagles-Cardinals game tomorrow. But my understanding in talking to some people that I do know there, my wife is a Penn State graduate. So we do have friends, and she is from that area, and she has family still there. I understand that there was an anonymous bomb threat that had been received for Beaver Stadium last night. Now, the FBI checked that out. It was deemed to be false, and the game is still going to continue. There was a candlelight vigil on the campus last night, and you know, I think that you know people are coming around to that this is a horrible act that was committed against children. And what really brought it home yesterday too was there was an interview on Good Morning America. Maybe some of you saw it with one of the victims' mothers, and that just really brings it home about what this whole thing is about. But that said, I think, you know, you kind of have to separate it, I think. You feel horrible for what happened and what occurred to the children, but, you know, there's being a sports writer, you know, I have to kind of separate it, and I'm a sports junkie. I have three children, so I see it from that end, too. So if you try to slice it in half here and put both of those emotions on either side of that line and, you know, look at one side, and that's the game that needs to be played and what's happening there now, and then the other side is what happened to those children, obviously. And it's a difficult thing to do at times. Your emotions run the gamut. Just kind of the way the situation is up there. So it's constantly fluid, and that's kind of the way my emotions are, too, is, you know, I feel for the children, and yet I feel for, you know, what's going on that campus to the students that are there that had nothing to do with this, to the football players that had nothing to do with this, and they still have to continue with their life, as do the children. So, you know, there again, it's kind of a tearing of emotion. But that's how I feel about it.
Right, no, and I absolutely 100% agree with you. Axel, do you have any questions at all?
Well, I mean, I know that Mike McQuarrie is on administrative leave, but why does he have a job?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure he is going to have a job. I heard one theory that was proffered by Lester Munson, who indicated that maybe because Mike McQuarrie witnessed the incident in 2002, that perhaps the state attorney general is protecting his job, at least for the moment, because they want him to be a witness in Sandusky's trial, which I think there was supposed to be a hearing this week, but it's been pushed until December. But I think the state attorney general, and this was a good theory, I thought, was maybe they just don't want McQuarrie to get all lawyered up, so to speak, and start to stonewall the investigation and maybe not cooperate. So maybe the state attorney general is sort of protecting his job at this point to have him cooperate as a prosecution witness when this trial of Sandusky begins.
Well, one of the things, and I was emailed this last night, this soundbite, and it's kind of raw and kind of rough, but it's Joe Paterno talking, basically saying that we need to say a prayer for the children, and it's of course the same soundbite has been played all over radio, all over the United States, but I wanted to play it for our listeners. This is Joe Paterno as he opens up his front door to talk to media and students.
Remember, we're always going to be Penn State, regardless of what happens to certain people. We're Penn State. I'm proud of you, folks. I'm proud of you. I've always been proud of you.
We're proud of you, man. Hey,
let's all just see that football team on Saturday, all right, and beat Nebraska. Yeah! And, you know, there's been some criticism of the way we've handled some of the poor victims. My wife and I, we have 17 grandkids, from 16 to 3. And we pray for them every night. We're going to start praying for those kids that got get involved with some of the problems that we talked about. They don't deserve it. They have, and we owe it to them to say a prayer for them and to make sure they know and understand that their life is still one that can be enriched, one that they can make a significant impact on other people and do a lot of different things, as all of you can. So God bless everybody.
We love you, Joe.
All right, that was a soundbite from Joe Paterno as he talked to students and media right after all of this just came out. So I guess, Ed, I go to you first. What are your thoughts about that soundbite? Sincere? Legitimate? Do you think that maybe he was he sounded a little like he was not concerned at all, in my opinion. Maybe I just over-dissect things, but what are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is just sad. It's just very sad, everything he said. As far as, him not having his priorities right still, I would have to agree. I mean, the first thing he mentioned was football. Actually, him even coming out and making any sort of statement like that at all was wrong. His son is an attorney, Scott, who should be giving him, in my opinion, better counsel. Joe should be just hiding and not saying a thing. If I was him, I would even get him the heck out of town and go somewhere else. I know that's difficult. Joe's a stubborn man. He's an older man, and as we get older, we get a little more stubborn, I guess. But it seems to me, Tom, that he just still does not really kind of get this, and maybe therein lies the problem, in that when he was approached 10 years ago, he didn't get it. I don't know what it's like to be 85. I guess when he was 74 is when he heard about it. He's not 85, he's 84. He'll be 85 next month. But, I have an 85-year-old father, and I just know that he's stubborn. He doesn't remember things the way he should. I don't know how he would act in this sort of situation. So, I'm not in his shoes, but just from that soundbite, and that's all that is a soundbite, is he just sounds like he still kind of doesn't understand what the gravity of this. As far as the children goes, now he understands he's not a football coach, but he doesn't. I don't think he understands it with the children, and maybe he didn't understand it 10 years ago when this incident occurred.
Well, absolutely, and you're right. He isn't the football coach, and to give you a perspective to our listeners, the way I understand it, he has been on the field since the last time that he was not on the field was like 1949. My father. And I'm 43 years old, mind you. My father was born in 1948. So if that gives you any idea about a lifespan of Joe Paterno and what he's had on the field. Now, Brian, I know yesterday you texted me and talked to me a little bit about a story that you had heard on Fox News, and I wanted to wait to have that conversation on the air with you some more. But go ahead, and I want you to talk to Ed about that as well, that same story that you heard. And Ed, I want to get your thoughts on this story too. So go ahead, Brian.
All right. The story that I heard was in 98 when all this, some of this was brought forward and the DA could not press charges, against Sandusky because I guess there wasn't enough evidence. Well, in 2005, I guess this guy went missing, and actually – last July, he was declared dead. Is there any kind of like speculation that this could have some kind of tie into it, or do you think that's just a separate incident on something else that he was working on at that time?
Well, that's a great question. There seems to be, I think as we go forward here, there's going to be some difficulty determining what's fact and what's fiction. I think I spoke last night about an incident of a linebacker in South Carolina, a high school kid, who said that Sandusky came to his home to recruit him and was in the stands during the game just last year. Now, the high school that boy went to put out a statement and said that's not true. There's that, and now there's this incident involving I guess he was a district attorney. It was Ray Grecar, I believe, is the name of the individual that went missing.
Right.
Now, Grecar is the one who dismissed any charges against Sandusky involving that 1998 incident, which a woman came forward and said Sandusky was in the shower with her son. A child welfare agency investigated it. They had a detective investigate it. And my understanding is Sandusky even admitted to doing that. And yet Grecard dismissed the charges then. And then 7 years later, he disappears. So I'm not sure. My understanding is Grecard was not exactly pro-Penn State in some of his rulings that he made through the years. So I'm not sure that there is a tie-in. But you know what? In this situation, you really need to look under every rock and every stone and see exactly what happened. I mean, it's a mysterious incident. He went missing. He's never been found. And nobody knows what happened to him. So, you know, maybe there should be some time and some money and effort invested in seeing exactly what he knew and what became of him.
Yeah, and actually, I did read, and his family wanted him declared dead to settle his estate in July, and that's what happened. The judge declared him dead.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating, offshoot to the main story that's happening now. I just think that every effort should be made now, if it wasn't already, to kind of determine where in the heck he went. People just don't disappear, do they? In this day and age, I mean, somebody has to know something or saw something about what happened. And, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, if I'm Sandusky and I did this, what he's being accused of, I would just come clean just for my soul, just to set things square. You know what I'm saying? And if he had anything to do with the Grecard disappearance, come clean on that too. But now you're talking about murder. Possibly.
Well, he's already looking at life anyway, so what's the difference, right?
I agree. And like I said, you know, I'm a spiritual guy myself, and if I had, you know, if there's anything that needed to be done to set my soul straight and, you know, in the eyes of my creator, I would do it now and pray for forgiveness.
Now, and one last question, because I certainly want to move to the actual game at hand between Penn State and Nebraska, and I also want to talk to you a little bit about the Eagles and the Cardinals game, but excuse me for being stereotypic here. So I apologize in forefront, but sometimes you just got to ask the question and apologize for it in advance. Philadelphia, obviously Joe Paterno is Italian. Without coming out and saying Italian-American stereotypic stuff, do you think that Joe Paterno and people, Sandusky, McQuarrie, all of those people have friends that maybe a lot of other people don't have? I'll put it that way.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. I do not know the answer to that. I guess it's plausible. Anything would be plausible at this point. These are powerful men. They are in the middle part of the state. I know there have been incidents of organized crime in the northeast part of the state in an area called Scranton and Wilkes-Barre that has gone to the federal level in that town. You know, federal judges in that region have been accused of it. It's an interesting theory. I'd be surprised if that were the case, but, you know, maybe I wouldn't be. You know, anything's on the table at this point, and it's only a week old. And I think today, getting to the football game, I think today might be, I don't want to say a step toward the healing process, a step in the healing process, but I think maybe it's a start of trying to get things back to normal anyway, not that they ever will, or it's going to take years, and especially with these poor children. I mean, again, we come back to that, and they will never be normal as we know it, I would think.
Hey, Ed, I had a question.
Sure, go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, my question is, if it can be proved at some point the information that Mike McQuarrie gave did get to the law enforcement, doesn't that absolve Joe Paterno? And regardless, did the trustees have legal ground to dismiss Joe Paterno versus moral grounds that regardless Joe Paterno could go after the trustees for unlawful termination?
He could. I don't know if he'd win that battle. I don't know if he would want to exhaust what years he has left fighting that battle. to me he could, but I think the trustees made a decision that was right for the university, and it's difficult to fight that. Is that they're the ones that run the school, and it's not one, two, three, four, five people. There are a number of members of that board of trustees, and they arrived at this decision as one. It was a unanimous decision to force him out, and that is their charge, is to do what is right by the university. So legally, I don't think Joe would win that fight. I'm not a lawyer. I can't speak for certain on that. But, again, I'm not sure he would really do that. As far as, you know, dismissing everyone, I think you can fire somebody for any reason you want, legally. So McQueary is certainly in the eyes of being fired. But, again, I think what Lester Munson, a very good investigative reporter, offered was that maybe the state attorney general is keeping him in his job so he will be a cooperating witness once this trial begins at Sandusky. I think what needs to be done here is that they need to go back to 1998 when this whole situation arose with Sandusky having these charges dismissed against him, which we talked about just a few minutes ago, and find out what people knew then. I mean, you can't tell me that there was no knowledge of anybody, including Paterno in 1998, because then in 1999, Sandusky resigned, 55 years old, the prime of his coaching career, and he decides to step down because of what he said was his desire to spend more time with his charity, this Second Mile charity. It was a curious move at the time. Media at the time wondered why now, 55, prime of your coaching career, heir apparent possibly to Joe Paterno, why are you doing this? And that was his reasoning. But maybe it had to do with that 98 incident, and I think they need to look at that a little bit more closely.
Well, guys, we could certainly get into a lot of conversation about Sandusky, Jopo, and everybody else involved. And it's a sad situation. But I do want to maybe it's therapeutical. I don't know. I just think that we need to move on and talk about the actual game. And also joining us now is our good friend Jimmy the intern. Jimmy is our Indiana University intern / analysis. Welcome aboard, buddy. So glad you could get up this morning.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for having me. I set my alarm for about 15 minutes ago. So, you know, plenty of time. I'm up and with you guys.
I'll tell you what, we give Jimmy a hard time because he's a sophomore at Indiana University. And he covers IU football for us, and we're getting ready to merge into IU basketball. IU won yesterday, and so he's way beyond his years. Not like that 23-year-old mayor that we had on, but so we got to cut him a little bit of slack that he's still in college. Now, and Jimmy, why I wanted to go ahead and bring you into this conversation is because we're getting ready to break down this Penn State-Nebraska game. One of the things you brought out last night after Ed had gotten off the phone and we were finishing up the show, and correct me if I misquote you, but you said you think that maybe, possibly, the media is on a witch hunt for Joe Paterno. Is that what you said?
I want to be able to clarify that. I think that there has been somewhat of a witch hunt around Paterno, not because not because of anything he might have done being right or wrong. I mean, beyond that, I think there's an important distinction to make because, you know, obviously I keep saying this, that when somebody's waving a banner of child molestation, you can't assail them. But I think there are too many people in the media whose argument is child molestation is a bad thing, ergo Joe Paterno had to go. I think they're forgetting a key part of the argument here, asking themselves what he really knew. And at this point, we don't know what he knew. If it comes out that Paterno really did know about this, then, you know, it's great that he was fired. He should have been fired right then, and, you know, maybe even more stuff should happen to him. But at this point, we don't know that, and it's entirely possible. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, knowing what we know about Paterno and the generation that he grew up in, the generation that he comes from, it wouldn't surprise me that he didn't know as much as we're coming out and thinking that he knew. And in that case, Penn State just unceremoniously dismissed the patriarch of their football program and really the patriarch of their school. I think they moved a little quickly. And I think it was because out of all the media attention. They even admitted as much.
All right, well, guys, we're going to jump into this. We got to go to a quick break, and then when I get back, I want to jump into why we still got Ed on the phone. I want to jump into this big game. Obviously, they're 8-1. Let's talk some football. Let's talk about what Penn State and Nebraska are going to do on the field today. And also, there's a huge game tonight, guys, that I like to talk about. Obviously, IU's on a bye. Evan Williams is going to join us here in about 15 minutes, our Purdue University student. He's going to talk a little bit about Purdue with us. Can everybody hang on through the break?
Yep.
I'm going to take that as a yes. All right, we'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. Gridiron, my name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. Top of the Balance Studios here in Indianapolis. Beautiful Saturday morning. And this starts hour number two, and we've got a jam-packed hour. We're going to finish up our discussion about Penn State, about what's going on with Penn State and Nebraska. We're going to break down some big college games and some NFL games. And at 10:45, my son, who's in the Marines, is going to join us and talk a little bit about the Marines, Veterans Day, and we salute all of our veterans. This show is completely 100% dedicated to you. All right, guys, we're joined by our panel of esteemed experts, starting with our intern co-host, not intern, intern would be Jimmy, intern co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Colts fan, Super Colts fan, and then we've got Chad, a.k.a. Axel. We've got Jimmy the intern, and a very, very special guest on the panel today is Ed Katz. Did I say it right, Ed? Come on now.
You know what? It was excellent. Good job. You got it right.
All right. We'll just and Ed writes for he's a columnist, writes for various different media outlets in the Philadelphia suburb areas, one of them phillyburbs.com. He's also a Philadelphia Eagles beat writer. So let's just jump right into it, Ed, while we got you on the line here today, and then we'll go through our panel here. But today is a big game. It was a big game before any of this happened, so it's going to continue to be a big game. It's senior day. What's going on in the field today, Penn State and Nebraska?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is a huge game. And, you know, this is where we have to talk and you know, separate what's happening, you know, in the real world versus the football world. And, you know, these seniors – that are playing today are going to be honored. There's 23 of them. Penn State is the only team in the conference with a undefeated record, which is a bit of a surprise. Everyone knew that their schedule was going to be backloaded with some good teams starting today with Nebraska, and not many people gave them a chance of winning these final three games. After today, then next week they go to Ohio State, and then they go to Wisconsin. So that's a tough road to hoe for them. You know, you wonder if this being senior day, it was already going to be an emotional game, and now the players are talking about we're going to win this for Joe. And you just wonder if that emotion will be enough to carry them through to a win today. I know their defense is very good, Penn State's, and it'll be tested today against the Martinez kid that plays quarterback for Nebraska. And that running back, Burkhead, is very tough. So it's going to be a good – I think it'll be a good matchup between a very strong defensive team in Penn State, which only gives up about 12 points a game, versus a what is a very good Nebraska offense on a very emotional day. I mean, it's a historic day, really. It's the first time that Penn State will take the field without Joe Paterno on the sidelines or in the press box since 1950. That's just an incredible you mentioned it earlier, Tom. You put it in perspective with your father. I mean, it's just amazing when you think about that time span.
All right, Jimmy, we'll start with you, and we'll just go around the clock here. Jimmy, the intern, go ahead and put in your thoughts for Penn State and Nebraska. Obviously, you cover a lot of Big Ten for us here on the intern cycle with IU and so forth. So go ahead and give us your thoughts on this game.
Well, and it's even going beyond that because I've been paying a lot of attention to the Big Ten season as it's progressed through everybody in the leaders division. Penn State is one of those teams in the division. And this game against Nebraska is going to be interesting on a couple of levels. One, just getting back to the players really quickly, I'm friends with a girl who's friends with just about everybody on that Penn State football team, or a lot of people at least. And it's almost unanimous that not one of them wanted to see Paterno go. They're upset that Joe Paterno isn't coaching, and I'm not exactly sure how that emotion is going to translate into this game, whether it's going to be a positive or a negative thing. I could see it be going both ways. I could see it going one way or another, but I'm not totally sure how that's going to play out. I mean, even without all the Paterno stuff swirling around the team, this Penn State squad had a lot of questions. Far be it for me to take gratuitous pot shots, of course, but they have two pretty sucky quarterbacks. And their defense, while really impressive this year, hasn't been such that they're beyond giving up points to certain teams. I mean, they've definitely started playing better, but this is a Penn State team that IU was within one Hail Mary at the end of beating. IU actually had a stone's throw chance at the end of that game. And Penn State, to me, showed that they were a mortal team in that game. They've looked mortal in each of these games. They're living by the skin of their teeth. They're hanging on by a thread in every one of these games and squeaking through. And I'm not totally sure if they'll be able to keep that up this weekend against Nebraska.
All right, Axel, you got any thoughts on this game? Or you want to hold your thoughts for the Eagles?
I'm just wanting to... watch the play of Devon Still, the defensive tackle for Penn State, and the Colts could use somebody like that. And if you look at the Penn State defensive tackles, they have had a good run of success with the 4-3 teams. Bears have, I think it's Anthony Adams or somebody, and we had Big Ed Johnson before from Penn State, and he's one that I'd like for our 4-3 defense if he does last till the top of second round, and we'll be picking early anyway. So that's the guy I'm watching.
Andrew Luck. All right. And we only got Ed for just a little bit, just a few more minutes here, Ed. So any comments on what they had to say, and can you help us break down this Philadelphia Eagles-Cardinals game?
Well, yeah, I think Devin Still, if he's the number one draft pick in the country, coming out ahead of Andrew Luck, I'll walk to Pittsburgh or to Indianapolis.
I said second round.
That'll happen. That could happen. He could be there, although he is playing well, and maybe he's playing himself into a late first round pick. That remains to be seen. But Jimmy made some very good points there about Penn State surviving on by the skin of its teeth, and that is absolutely true. They've been mortal all season long, but they have not been slayed yet. And today's a home game, and I think those emotions that Jimmy spoke of going both ways throughout the course of the game, I think that's accurate too. I'm not sure that what it's going to boil down to. I think it's going to boil down to talent and who has the more talent. And to me, Nebraska looks like they're they're a little bit more talented. But again, they're going to be walking into a difficult situation, and it'll be interesting to see how Nebraska handles its emotions too. Should be a fun game to watch, and maybe help us to kind of, you know, forget a little bit for, you know, a 3-hour block about what's going on.
Well, we speaking of forgetting a lot in the 3-hour blocks, we want to forget this whole NFL season. And it's good to talk to you. I'll tell you what, I know we've got a lot of Colts fans on the air with us here, and we have a strong Colts following, but it's always good to, we have listeners all over the nation, and it's always good to talk to, we had a pretty good discussion last week about the Giants and, was it Giants at Green Bay who would have the, I can't remember, but it was,
Giants versus Patriots last week.
Was it the guy with the page? Okay, well, see, I forget the teams, but because we just don't talk about the Colts anymore. So the Eagles, Michael Vick, obviously your quarterback out there, to me kind of been a disappointment this year. So maybe if you could kind of summarize, we'll let you go right after this, but this may be your last question, but because I know you've got to get ready for this Eagles and Cardinals game. So if you could kind of summarize that game for us, and do you think Michael Vick's been a disappointment to the Eagles this year?
Well, I think that he's put them in position to win games. You know, there have been four times that the Eagles have taken a lead into the fourth quarter, only to watch that lead evaporate from its defense. But that said, the Eagles are only averaging 3 points a game in the fourth quarter. So then you have to look at the quarterback. And I would say Michael Vick has been a bit more of a disappointment than he was last year. He's already thrown 9 interceptions this season as opposed to 6. All of last season. I'm not sure. The Eagles seem to have a bit more of a running game this year with LeSean McCoy, who leads them in leads the NFL in yards rushing with 825 coming into the weekend. And you know, I think he's still adjusting to the fact that he doesn't have to do everything, but when he has to do something, maybe he tries to do a little too much because he doesn't have to do it all the time. If you understand what I'm saying, he's not getting as many opportunities to do as much. So the ones that he does get, he might be trying to do a little too much. And he just seems to have some difficulty with batted balls at the line of scrimmage. Now, is that the offensive line's fault? Maybe they need to chop the defender down a little bit better to get their hands down. But Michael Vick's not a real tall guy. He's only 6 feet tall. And the Eagles are going to play a 6'9" guard this weekend. King Dunlap is going to make his first start at guard because of an injury. So it'll be even more interesting to see how those passing lanes are when Vick drops back to pass. But I would say he's been a bit of a disappointment. You can't lay it all on him. The defense is certainly culpable by allowing those fourth quarter leads to wither away. But then, you know, offensively, they've only scored 3 points on average in the fourth. So there are many things right now that are wrong with the Eagles, and it's why they are 3-5.
Well, Ed, we appreciate you joining us. I know you've stayed way past your time, and we're just going to let you give the final word here. Tonight is a big game, Oregon and Stanford. I know we could talk all day about this very good game, but real quickly, what are your thoughts on that game? And we'll just let you go because as long as you're like a stray dog, as long as we keep feeding you, you stay around. So, I mean, so
what did I say about my life?
Absolutely. Yeah. So go ahead. Your thoughts on that, and we'll let you go.
Well, I'm a Stanford guy. You know, I love Stanford. You know, I'd like to see Stanford play for the national championship. I don't know whether it'll happen or not, but I would love to see Luck in the national spotlight game, and I think tonight's going to be fun. I like watching them play. I like to watch him play quarterback. And, I'll be rooting as a fan tonight for Stanford. Whether or not they're going to be able to do it remains to be seen, but it's going to be a fun one to watch.
All right, guys. Real quickly, where can they stalk you on Facebook or find you on Twitter or what have you?
Well, my Twitter is Kratze. It's KRACZE is my Twitter, and my you can find me on the web. It's phillyburbs.com, and you can /Eagles is where you'll find my Eagles work. So it's phillyburbs.com/Eagles if you want to read about the Eagles.
Well, Mr. Ed, don't be a stranger to the show. It's been a pleasure having you the last couple of days.
Thanks, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you.
Do you like what you hear on the Balanced and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right. Even if you're not a good guy at sports, we're good at talking sports. And so glad you could join us here on the Balanced Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, Al Presidente. And joining me, my interim co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts fan. Brian, what a great guest Ed was to have. And we had him on our show yesterday. And, you know, you just love talking to guys that are just local media like that. Wasn't he just a great guy to have on the air with us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great having people all across the U.S., you know, calling. You know, you got the contacts to, you know, fill out everything, you know, every different kind of, you know, sports team around, you know, the U.S., and it's always fun.
It's a sickness. Also on our panel, Mr. Jimmy the intern, Axel is with us, and I know we got Evan Williams going to be joining us any minute here in about 5 or 10 minutes, and we're going to talk some Purdue. So we're just going to kind of go around the clock here, guys. We're going to start with you, Jimmy. Obviously, IU on a bye this week. We talked a little bit about Penn State and Nebraska. I didn't really get your thoughts on Oregon, Stanford. I tell you what, I'm just going to turn the mic over to you, and you just go wherever the Lord leadeth.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be a really quick preface. Whatever Evan gets on, I'm going to have to bust his balls a little bit about the brand new Purdue student T-shirt, which apparently included the women's Final Fours and the Helms national titles on the back. You know, if you're going to women's basketball on a day where women's basketball isn't playing, for the accolades you're looking to have on the back of a T-shirt, you're doing it wrong. And you know, I'm gonna have to get on Purdue about that.
All right, we'll let you do that.
Okay. Yeah, but if we want to move over to the Oregon-Stanford game, I think this is going to be something that's really interesting to watch because of a lot of reasons. Number one, you know, as Super Colts fan knows, Andrew Luck. and you know, just watching him against USC, you know, there are some people who against Matt Barkley were like, yeah, I don't know about Andrew Luck. His throws weren't zipping. But, you know, at the end of the day, he looked great. And, you know, he's proven himself, I think, to be, you know, the top-level prospect that people are looking at. When Peyton Manning came out of college, people were questioning his arm strength, and people wondered what he was able to do to get zip on his throws. But, you know, Luck's kind of the same way. His throws get there, and he prepares, and he's poised in the pocket. There are a whole lot of more positive things besides his less than, you know, howitzer arm strength. He doesn't have a cannon, but he's able to get the ball there, and he's able to make just about all the throws. The only question I'm going to have against Oregon is watching how the rest of Stanford matches up, because maybe it's because of all the media attention surrounding Andrew Luck, but the rest of his team, to me, is a little underwhelming. It reminds me of those Colts teams with Peyton Manning, that he covers a lot of holes. I mean, I think Luck could very well cover a lot of holes, and against Oregon, it'll be interesting to see if those are exposed, because last year, there were a lot of points scored in that game. I believe Oregon won last year, and I think Oregon has a very, very good shot of upsetting, well, not upsetting, but of beating Stanford. I think, it is an upset. They're two really tough-ranked teams. Of beating Stanford this weekend, and, reminding the national media and people on a national scale who Oregon is. I wouldn't be surprised if Stanford falls tonight.
All right, Axel, the mic's yours, buddy.
Whatever's
on your heart.
I frankly do not think Andrew Luck is covering a lot of holes because of the fact that Stanford averages almost 200 rushing yards a game and is playing with two potential first-round picks on the offensive line when the Martin guy and the DeCastro guard, David DeCastro, I think his name is, and Jonathan Martin. So they're rushing for 200 yards a game. So I don't really think he is covering for a lot of deficiencies. What he is doing is keeping the defense off the field to an extent because the defense is not as potent. From that aspect, I can understand the comparison, but he is getting a lot of help on the rushing front with NFL-caliber offensive linemen and a rushing attack. So the biggest question is if he is asked to transition to a pass-happy offense like the Colts, you will have to run it considerably different than what Peyton Manning ran it. The best help that you can give a rookie quarterback in the NFL is a running game and tight end production. So I'm glad that we got the offensive line picks up early with Costanzo and Islana, and the running game seems to be improving, much improved actually, on the yards per carry front. I just wish that Clyde Christensen, our offensive coordinator, would run 30 times a game as opposed to letting Curtis Painter throw 49 times a game. So that's my biggest beef. But with Andrew Luck, like he said, yes, I mean, where are the big-armed Ryan Leafs and Jamarcus Russell who could throw 50, 60 yards on one knee? Right? Where are they now? So I agree with Jimmy on the Andrew Luck being able to read defenses. And in the NFL, a lot of it is reading defenses. And in a timing offense like the Colts, is getting the ball to the right spot. If the wide receivers do their job and the quarterback gets it to the right spot and with some separation, so you should be able to move the chains and be a very efficient quarterback, if not an elite quarterback right off the bat. And that's what that's my take on it. So.
All right, Brian, real quickly, let thyself vent.
This is actually a game that I'm going to try and watch. I don't even know what time. What time does it start?
You're talking
what
about the
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yeah,
I believe.
Me being downtown, though, and everyone wanted to talk to me and everything, I'm going to try and stay down there at the Colts Grill and watch this game because I didn't want to see what, Sandra Luck, if he can actually do this. I think it's one of the bigger the games of the season from what I've been hearing. So, yeah, I'm actually going to watch it and see if I think this kid can make it in the NFL.
Well, I might swing down there tonight and watch that game with you. We're waiting to be joined by Evan Williams. And one of the things I want to get into, and we're going to get into a little bit of conversation with him as well, but I know, Jimmy, yesterday you were at the IU basketball game. How'd they look?
IU looked great yesterday. I was people were going to say, Stony Brook, whatever. And, I'll take that with a grain of salt because, obviously, Stony Brook isn't, a team from a Big Six conference or anything like that. But I'll go back to last year as kind of a reference point. This is what I was telling some friends who were asking my take on it. Last year against Florida Gulf Coast, Indiana blew them out. This year against Stony Brook, they blew them out by 30 points. The difference between those two games are two things. Number one, Florida Gulf Coast was lower down on the list. Just about any ranking you want to look at, KenPom, RPI, a national ranking, whatever it was, they were lower than Stony Brook was this year. And last year, and not great at defense. And last year, IU tried to, you know, run plays and penetrate into the lane and that kind of thing, and weren't able to. IU blew out Florida Gulf Coast last year because they caught fire from the three-point line. It looked great on the scoreboard. That kind of worried me when I was watching the game, that they weren't able to penetrate against a team like Florida Gulf Coast. Against Stony Brook, they got to the free throw line almost at will. Victor Oladipo and Will Sheehy looked outstanding. Cody Zeller looked great. And guys like Derek Elston was hitting jumpers.
Ah! We lost Jimmy. Oh, I don't know how that happened, guys. Chad, we lost Chad, and I knew Chad had to go. Well, anyway, Jimmy, call back in here. How did that happen? I think it must have been because Evan called in. I know, I'm just kidding. Evan, so glad that you could join us. Evan Williams, no stranger to the show, obviously blogger for Purdue and Bleeding Black and Gold. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, no problem. We were just and we'll wait for Jimmy to call back. But we were just talking a little bit about the basketball game last night. So what I'd like to do really with you is let's just start in. It looked like you got a little taste of the Wisconsin medicine like everybody else has got. So don't feel bad. We've all had the same thing. But so kind of recap last week's the Wisconsin game with us and kind of recap what's been going on with you in Purdue and as far as basketball and football.
Last week was a tough loss. You never want to see your team lose by that much. But Wisconsin's a very, very good team. They're very powerful on offense, and they have a solid defense too. First quarter, Purdue played great. I mean, they were right there with them, but then as the game went on, Wisconsin running back, Monty Ball, he was just too much for the Boilers to stop. He ran for over 200 yards, had three touchdowns, had a great game. And that just showed why Wisconsin's one of the better teams in the conference and in the nation, is that they have such a good offense that they can run. And Purdue just struggled throughout. They couldn't get much going on offense, and they really struggled on defense.
All right, now we got Jimmy back, Jimmy the intern back on the line with us, who covers IU football, basketball for us here. Now, Jimmy, I want you to go easy on our guests here. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Evan, Jimmy said he needed to bust your balls about something. First of all, you know, when you get IU and Purdue on the same show, I got to play referee. So I'm just
all
kidding.
Right.
But go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead, Jimmy. You're on. I apologize. We lost you.
That's all good. I was just going to say, you know, and to preface this, I have a lot of respect for Purdue. I have family from up in the area. I have some cousins who went there. So, you know, there's nothing malicious here against Purdue. I have respect. But, you know, I got to look at the shirts that the marketing department put out yesterday for the basketball game with a count of two national championships, all these Final Fours. And it comes to my attention that a lot of the Final Fours they've been referencing were the women's team. You know, for a men's basketball game, the women's team isn't playing that day. I'm trying to figure out what exactly is going on there, because if you're counting women's Final Fours on a shirt for the men's basketball team, and, you know, I'm not going to say anything about the Helms National Championships. I can leave that one lie. But, you know, if you're counting women's Final Fours on a shirt for the men's basketball team, you're, in my opinion, you're doing something wrong.
Go ahead, Evan.
I saw them. I didn't really understand it. I agree that, you know, if it's for a men's game, you should keep the men's stats, and if you have the women's, you should keep the women's. But I think overall it was just because it's like the rededication to Mackey this weekend. The women's opens up on, I think, Sunday with their first actual game. So I think that's kind of what it was. It was just overall the rededication to Mackey. But, yeah, I agree. I don't understand why you would combine them on one shirt.
All right, guys, we've got just a few minutes left here. My son's going to be joining us here at 10:45. He's in the Marines. You guys are more than welcome to join us. But it's just a salute to the veterans. So we want to make sure we have plenty of time for that. But also what I want to really get into is, and I know we've had a lot go on in the football season, and I'm certainly not trying to move away from football. And so certainly, Evan, if there's anything you want to talk about football, but we're moving into the basketball season, and hence a new season here for the Balance, where we'll be doing a lot of covering for college basketball, moving toward the ultimate goal of March. And it was really exciting to me to watch that game last night, the Carrier Classic. What a kickoff it was. What are you guys' thoughts about the Big Ten season in basketball, basketball season all the way around? And we'll start with you, Evan. Just Purdue basketball. You could talk women's basketball if you want. So I couldn't resist. I'm an IU alumni myself, so we don't mean to gang up on Evan. No, actually, Purdue's a great campus. I love going up there to cover games. Like you said, Mackey Arena, anything that you want to talk about basketball, then we'll move into IU basketball, that might probably suck up our time. But go ahead, Evan, you're up.
Well, last night I went to the first regular season game as Purdue played Northern Illinois, and it wasn't a game for very long. Purdue blew Northern Illinois out. They're a much better team than NIU. They beat them by 62. And while it's not a very good game to gauge off of because of how much better Purdue was, I did find what I saw in the game to be impressive. Robbie Hummel's back, as we all know, after his unfortunate ACL tears. And he looked really good. He went 5-for-7 from beyond the arc. And he really ran the floor well for Purdue. I like the improvements that I saw from Kelsey Barlow. He looks a lot more matured and calm this season. He's making better plays. I really like what I saw from Tyrone Johnson, sophomore out of North Central High School in Indianapolis. And overall, I think it's a great team effort. And I really think that Purdue is going to be a good team this year.
All right, real quickly, before we go back to Jimmy the intern, joining us now is Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show, who Gary and I do a show every Monday through Friday. You never know what's going to happen with that show. I know Jimmy and Evan both have been on that show with us, and, you know, it's very easy for us to get off topic. So, you know, we'll try to stay on topic, but joining us now is Hockey Dad of the Year, Mr. Gary L. Snyder. Gary, so glad that you could join us on a Saturday morning.
Well, hey, we just got done with the hockey game. The gray team moves to 5-0-1 with an 11-3 win over the green team. And Gary Luke gets his first goal of the season, but he was so shocked he forgot to do a celebration.
A celebration dance on the ice. You guys would not want to see me out.
His celebration, he's been practicing the drop to the knees and play the guitar with your hockey stick, or drop to your knees and slide and shoot the birds.
And like she said, just drop through your knees. No, I'm just kidding.
He had a good game, and they stay undefeated.
So now you realize that when your son makes his debut in the NHL, we all get private sweet box invitations from you.
When Gary Luke makes the NHL, we will all be in a suite.
Sweet. All right, we're talking some we're moving on to some basketball, because IU actually, we're actually able to have this conversation with Jimmy, Gary, about an IU win basketball last night. So go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, I was just going to say, I've been saving up all my energy for this, you know, and a win, talking about it, it's almost like I don't know what to do. And at some point, I will want to bring, you know, Evan back in a little bit and ask a couple things about Purdue, because I obviously didn't get the chance to watch that game. And I think the people are sleeping on them a little bit. I think they can be a pretty good team. But, you know, just getting back to IU, I talked about it a little bit on the other side before I got dropped, unfortunately. But just talking about how much better they looked this year, their opener, than last year. I made reference really quick to Florida Gulf Coast being an inferior team to Stony Brook and the offense not being able to penetrate into the lane against Florida Gulf Coast. Last night they penetrated almost at will. They got out and ran, which is something great to see. Stony Brook liked to play slow. They liked to play almost a Wisconsin-style pace. And IU got out and ran. Victor Oladipo and Will Sheehy were two catalysts. Sheehy had a cold. He scored either 11 or 13 points in the first half in 10 minutes of play, and he looks like he's going to be a beast this year. Oladipo, same. Derek Elson, you know, hitting jump shots from the outside. Verdell Jones distributing the ball. And Cody Zeller behind it all. Zeller, actually, the best part of the game last night was Zeller running a one-man fast break. If you remember a few years ago when Shaq did it and it got all this attention, Zeller, you know, the long, gangly seven-footer, dribbling down the floor, keeping someone on his back hip, taking it up and dunking it. Assembly Hall went absolutely crazy. And, you know, from then on, you know, it was a rout.
Well, and, you know, we're talking about basketball, moving on into college basketball, and I want to turn this over to Gary on a more of a serious note. Obviously, Coach Green up there in Marion died in his winter home in Florida, and I know that some of these youngsters may be a little bit too young to remember who Coach Green is, but I wanted to take some time with you on the air, Gary, to talk a little bit about him. Obviously, he coached the Marion Giants to the winningest. He's probably one of the winningest high school basketball coaches of all time. So, Gary, I wanted you to take a minute or two to talk about Coach Green and his memory.
Well, and I did not know Coach Green. Obviously, I've only been up in Marion since March. But, yeah, we heard it, too. We broke it on WBAT before the rest of the world picked it up. Coach Bill Green, who led Marion to all of those state championships, including three in a row back in the mid-'80s, died at his winter home in Florida. We brought Jim Brunner on, who is basically the voice of Marion sports and was the play-by-play guy for all of their state championships. Matter of fact, you walk into the BW3 in Marion, and there is a record for all of you youngsters out there who don't know what a record is. A piece of vinyl you put on a turntable and it kind of plays.
We're not that young.
But, there is a record of the Marion State Championship, the last one that he called, because you know, that's how they I guess put them on the you know, they didn't use cassettes or anything then, and there's Jim Brunner's face sitting there with Bill Green, and yeah, he passed away. We brought Jim Brunner on, who was very good friends with Bill Green, and obviously a blow to the Marion community, and probably will be sorely missed.
Well, and he certainly was one of the greatest coaches of all time, and I wanted to make sure that we took time to...
Let me clarify this. He was the winningest coach in Indiana basketball history.
Well, there you go, and that's a pretty huge accomplishment, especially when you think about Indiana and the state of Indiana and the impact that high school basketball has had on the nation and on just the historic significance of high school basketball. Indiana goes hand in hand with there.
Well,
now we're also
let me just say this: when you go back to the mid-'80s with Kyle Persinger, Edwards, and you know, that team won three state championships, and keep in mind, this is before class basketball ruined everything, where we had, you know, everybody was in, and for a team to win three state high school basketball championships in the state of Indiana was just extraordinary, and obviously can't be copied again, because, you know, the IHSAA and all their infinite wisdom ruined high school basketball in Indiana. So keep in mind, that was when everybody was in the tournament. There was only one class of basketball.
And I totally agree. I totally agree. I just want to keep moving forward here. I mean, I got my son calling in here in about 15 minutes to talk about the U.S. Marines and obviously their anniversary and their birthday, and we want to take some time to salute the veterans. But also, we've got on the line with us Evan Williams, blogger out there at Purdue, Bleeding Gold and Black, and I know that you just did a blog yesterday or the day before, Purdue Basketball and Travis Carroll. So if you want to talk to us a minute or two about your blog, Evan, and where they can find you and stalk you on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff.
Sure, Tom. You can find my blog, which I do pretty regularly. I cover Purdue basketball and football at bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25. I'm on Twitter a lot. I usually tweet all my posts for my blog over Twitter. So if you follow me, you can get a direct link to them there.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, do you have any final questions or insults for Evan?
not really any final questions. Not really any insults. Just wondering exactly where do you see Purdue finishing in relation to IU this year? I've seen people go both ways. Do you think they finish better or worse than IU in the standings?
I do think Purdue is going to finish better than IU this year. IU, I think they still have some time to improve. Obviously, getting Cody Zeller is a huge addition. He's a great player. But I don't see it this year. But I think in 2012, when IU has their top recruiting class coming in, it's going to be getting very competitive. And I do think the gap will be a lot closer.
All right, Evan Williams. Evan, don't be a stranger to the show. You're always more than welcome to be here, and thanks for being a part of our show today.
Thanks for having me. I always appreciate coming on.
No problem. Evan Williams, Bleeding Gold and Black, Purdue University. All right, Jimmy, we're going to give you the final say-so, per se, before we jump into our Veterans Day salute. Indiana University coming up. Talk to us a little bit about what fans can expect from Indiana University basketball and the rest of the season in football, if they didn't already know.
In basketball or football?
Either one. Yeah, whatever your heart desires.
Football, pain. It's going to suck. Basketball, not so much. I think they can get anywhere between 16 to 20 wins. I see them settling right around 17. And last night's game was a good indicator for me, a positive indicator. If things roll right, these guys could be an NCAA tournament team, something we haven't seen in a while.
All right. Well, how can your fans stalk you, chase you, date you, whatever?
The dating will hold off. We'll see how that goes. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at JPCIV. You can find my work, iusportcom.com. Also, every Friday morning from 10 to 11 on WIUX.org or WIUX 99.1.
All right. Jimmy the Intern, always good to have you on board with us. We'll catch up with you next week and talk a little bit more IU football and basketball.
Well, we don't have to talk football, Tom. Believe you me, we don't have to talk football.
You're anxious to jump into the basketball season. Well, we'll do that. Thanks so much, Jimmy. When we get back, guys, we are going to jump right into a conversation with my son, United States Marine Corps, obviously celebrating their huge anniversary as a Marine, and we're going to take some time to salute our veterans. Happy Veterans Day, America.
Do you like what you hear on the Balanced and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, TBalance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
thank you. Thank you for the way you fight for me. Oh, for all that you've given, for all you've yet to give, for every single sacrifice you've made, so America could live.
All right, welcome back to the Balance, Balance Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us on a Saturday, the day after Veterans Day. And Brian, you know, we're getting ready to be joined here by my son Zach, United States Marine Corps. But any special veterans in your life that you'd like to thank?
My grandpa, he did serve in World War II. He's 84 years old, and I believe that's his, yeah. I'm not a geography buff. I'm not a social studies buff. I don't know the wars or anything like that. I really never paid attention in high school on that. But he was a veteran, and he doesn't really talk much about his experiences. I know that he was in the Navy, and I think it's hard for him to talk about a lot of things that, you know, that he's seen, and so he kind of doesn't mention anything, but I know he is a veteran. And I don't think I really ever thanked him for serving, because it's not really something that he likes to talk about, but he knows that I am, you know, grateful, and everybody out there serving, thank you for serving our country.
All right. Brian Jensen, our intern co-host, as we know, Josh Elmore has recently become a new daddy. And speaking of new daddies, my son and father of my granddaughter, and also a United States Marine. All of those are proud things that I am proud to say as host of The Balance. Zach, welcome back to the Balance on Saturday, the day after Veterans Day.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys on this lovely day?
Fantastic. Are you calling us from a tank or your?
Excuse me.
Are you with us?
Yeah. I'm hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I must have been on Brian's line. I thought maybe you were calling us from a tank or something. That was Brian. We've got you muted. Now, Zach, obviously, you're my son, so I'm extra proud of you. But as a nation, we're proud of you for serving your country and being a part of the United States Marines. And the Marines are celebrating, and I sent you a quote as well, "Freedom isn't free, but the United States Marines pays the majority of your price." They've been around. They're celebrating an anniversary. Tell us a little bit about the Marines, what they're celebrating right now, and what's going on with them.
Oh, my pleasure. I want to start off by saying happy Veterans Day to, you know, all the vets in the past, all the vets, you know, in the present military today, and all the ones that's, you know, going to follow in my shoes as well. Being a vet on Veterans Day is one of the best days, other than my daughter's birthday, really, that I've ever experienced. Just going out in town and the way you hold yourself as a United States Marine, everyone knows what you do and what you stand for, and just random people and people of the public that you would never even see, you know, before in your life and probably will never see again, come up and shake your hand and say, hey, I appreciate you, you know, doing what you do so my family can sleep well at night. It just, that there, you know, is better than any Christmas gift you can get, any college, you know, presents from your parents or whatever it may be. That reward to me is, you know, undescribable. But we just celebrated the 236th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. The birthday ball has a lot of tradition, a lot of history, a lot of backbone that all of us Marines hold dear and close to our hearts every year. Every year around November, you start seeing people telling stories of the last ball and balls of four and what they plan on doing with this ball. It's just, the ball is by far the best thing that the Marine Corps can, you know, put on. It's just it's a time that we all can come together, we can, you know, kick back, and we can relax, and we can, you know, realize and, you know, kind of pat ourselves on the back and pat our men and women that's right next to us on the back and say, hey, you know, you guys are doing a great job. I'm doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Let's keep it up. You know, it's a big camaraderie thing. It's a big history. I know that there's a lot of history buffs, you know, listening right now. It's just, if you was to take the time and research and just dig into what the Marine Corps ball stands for, you'd blow your mind. So it's a wonderful, wonderful time of year.
Well, we're talking to my son, and I'm proud to call him my son and father of my granddaughter. But also I'm proud that, you know, he's serving our country in the United States Marine Corps. I know you spend a lot of time away from your family, and it's a price that you're more than willing to pay. And we appreciate all that you've done for our country. So real quickly.
I really appreciate that.
I know we share another love, and that's the love of our Indianapolis Colts. Anything that you want to say about the Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars game, or have you abandoned ship and went over there to New Orleans like your wife did?
No, I have not abandoned ship. My white flag has not been thrown by any means, and it will probably never be thrown. The thing is you find Colts will find out who their true fans are this season. Peyton Manning is out. It's obvious that the Colts have not been to their A game as that they normally are. When people play the Colts this year, they're expecting to win. Everyone that watches the Colts game is expecting the Colts to lose, simply for the fact of that we can't, you know, lie about that. I mean, it's going to happen. This year is it's pretty much a year to let our second and third string players get some playing time and get some, you know, stats underneath their belt just to show, hey, we're still an all-rounded team. Yeah, we have some hiccups, and yeah, we have some stuff to work out, and yeah, we're having a tough season, but I haven't yet to see a Colts player show any, you know, false motivation about, you know, playing on a Colts team. If you watch the Colts game, no matter if they're, you know, winning or losing or whatever, all the players on the Colts team, they're happy to play with Colts. I think it's safe to say that every team in the NFL and every player in the NFL wishes they played on the Colts. That's just the bottom ground of it. So I think that, you know, I like the fact that all the Colts fans that are still loyal and like myself and all the people going to the stadiums and going out there and rooting and cheering, I think it's great. I think that, you know, the Colts have grounded a lot of true fans, a lot of great motivation, and I think that, you know, this year is just going to make us so much stronger for next year.
Well, Zach, unfortunately, we have ran out of time. In the real world of radio, unfortunately, the clock stops for nobody, and I wish that we could have you on longer. Don't be a stranger to the show, Zach. And we appreciate everything that you do for our country, and thanks again.
Thank you for having me on.
No, thank you, buddy. My son, what a great kid he is. And I tell you what, Brian, it's hard to top that. I wish that we had more time to be able to really get into some deeper conversations with him. But, you know, we'll certainly make sure that we make time to do that. I love you, son. Very, very, very proud of you. All right, Brian, 1 minute timeout. Go ahead, go.
You know, the Colts fans are, you know, you see a lot of fans in the NFL belt when the team starts to lose. And if you look at me, and the thing on my glasses, on the top of my glasses, that was the thing that says, true fans of any, you know, team does not abandon their team. It doesn't matter what happens. And, you know, I drive the 5 hours to go down there knowing that the Colts are probably going to lose. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I'm still out there supporting my team. And if you're downtown tonight, go to the Indianapolis Colts Grill at 8 o'clock. I'll be giving away 2 tickets to go watch Colts and Jaguars tomorrow. We're going to be playing some kind of game down there. And, you know, you're a fan of any team out there, you know, remain loyal to your team. Don't jump ship when times get tough, because you're not a true fan if you do.
Well, that's going to have to be the last word, guys. Veterans, we salute you. We'll see you guys on Monday, 5 o'clock, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Yeah, I'm real good on the pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost.